Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
As you all know, today, festival is organized in remembrance of the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada, the day that Srila Prabhupada passed from this world 35 years ago, November the 14th, but they're doing it by the lunisolar calendar, so today is the 17th. And today we shall especially remember and glorify Srila Prabhupada. So the question may come, why don't we remember and glorify Srila Prabhupada every day? We have Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja and Disappearance Day Festival. Why not every day? Well, the fact is that certainly we should and must glorify Srila Prabhupada every day, but the reason that we are especially celebrating, and on other days we may talk about Krishna and Krishna's instructions, is we're glorifying Srila Prabhupada because he taught us about Krishna. Unlike most so-called gurus, who are not really gurus at all, who emphasize themselves, Srila Prabhupada was truly guru because he taught us. Jivesuru koi Krishna Nityodas, that we are all eternal servants of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He didn't call it the International Society for Prabhupada Consciousness. Like so many we were just hearing, Prabhupada was in the lecture that we just viewed and heard, Srila Prabhupada was using the word rascal, mudha, fool, for people in general, but these terms he used even more specifically for those who are the leaders of the dogs, hogs, camels and asses. Those who, leaders means misleaders. So among them are the so-called gurus who put all attention on themselves. And you'll see everywhere in India this pictures of, so some guru is coming to town or his program is going on for taking the money out of people's pockets. So many, they charge money. Their picture will be there. Srila Prabhupada promoted Krishna everywhere. He didn't promote himself. He taught the proper etiquette that the guru is to be honored as good as God, but he taught who is God, why the guru is to be honored as good as God. The Mayavadis, they just take it that the guru is as good as God, so no need for God. Therefore they are rascals. But Srila Prabhupada taught that we worship the guru because he is as good as God, but not directly God himself. So we don't go everywhere preaching Prabhupada, 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 or guru, guru, guru. But we preach Krishna. You understand your relationship with Krishna. Then how will you come to that relationship with Krishna? You have to go through guru. Krishna is in the center. Therefore we glorify Prabhupada. Once one of his disciples, who some of you may have noticed, the brief footage came of him in the film. You weren't there just now when it was being shown. Atreya Rishi, they showed him for a few seconds. So, in one of his Vyasa Puja offerings, he recalled how he was always glorifying Prabhupada in Prabhupada's presence, which actually is a proper thing for the disciple to do. But Srila Prabhupada detected there was something not quite right in that. And so Prabhupada, he would always tell him, no, you don't glorify me, you glorify Krishna. Because Atreya Rishi Prabhu recalled like this, that there is this, if you emphasize the Guru so much, it may become out of balance. One has to glorify the Guru because of his relationship with Krishna. Jadapi ama Guru Chaitanya Radas Tathapi Jani Taha Chaitanya Prakash. I know that my Guru is the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At the same time, he is the Prakash, or the illumination of Chaitanya, or he is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So both things are there. That is properly understood. We sing daily, Sakshad Dharitvena Samasta Shastra Uktas Tata Bhavyata Eva Sara Kintu Prabhoya Priya Eva Tasya Vande Guru Sri Charna Arvinda. We worship Srila Prabhupada because according to the Shastra, it's no different from Krishna, by being the very dear one of Krishna. So all these points are essential to understand, and we worship Srila Prabhupada because, why? And then if you say because, then there'll be a very long list. Why we worship Srila Prabhupada? And so many devotees will bring their realizations today all over the world of why we worship Srila Prabhupada. But in this particular verse, we understand that we worship Srila Prabhupada because of his connection with Krishna and because he tirelessly instructed us in our relationship with Krishna. Literally day and night, Srila Prabhupada instructed about Krishna. Asim Krishna Prabhu announced that I would speak on the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. Generally, everyone expects we will speak on the pastimes. But Srila Prabhupada himself, especially in formal situations, just like this is a formal situation, he would almost always speak on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We also know in the formal situation in 1936 when Srila Prabhupada made a Vyasa Puja offering to his guru, that it was completely philosophical. Understanding who is the guru by the symptoms. Another lecture Srila Prabhupada gave on the characteristics of a guru, and he quoted all the verses of Sri Guru Vashtaka and explained them to understand what are the symptoms of a guru. Otherwise we move away from the guru, because the guru means Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. The guru means he removes the agyana. How is that? By giving jnana, by giving knowledge. By giving knowledge of Krishna, we are benefited. We become free from agyana, from the ignorance of conceiving ourselves and everything else that be outside of our relationship with Krishna. So we worship Srila Prabhupada because he gave us Krishna. And we may also hear different pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, but these also cannot be understood properly or appreciated properly unless we understand the background. Just like so many people in India, still now, that piety is there, that people like to hear the pastimes of Krishna. They like to hear the pastimes of Krishna, but without understanding who is Krishna properly, according to the teachings of Shastra, received through the Acharyas, then they will hear the stories, and they will appreciate them, but they won't understand them properly at all. And if there's no proper understanding, then there's misunderstanding. And we find in India, our preaching in many ways is different to in the West. Where in the West, people have very little idea of Krishna at all. So we have, or even the basic understanding of what is human life, human culture, human civilization, how we are taking birth again and again and again and suffering in this material world. People have very little idea. In India, people have some idea. Some culture is going on like that. But there are so many misunderstandings. So that people think that there are many gods, Krishna is one god. And now there became more and more gods. So that we see that here in Bombay and Gujarat during this Ganesh festival, there are so many mandaps made of Ganesh with the head of this Shirdi Sai Baba. So what a mess. What a mix-up. First of all, why are they worshipping Ganesh like this anyway? And then they mix him up with Shirdi Sai Baba, who is some fakir who died more than 100 years ago. Complete. It's speculation on top of speculation. What is the root of all this? Ajnana, the influence of the Mayavad philosophy, by which they do not clearly establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they give the idea that you can worship in any way, and it's all the same. So in this way, they throw out Shastra, they throw out Krishna, or they may worship Krishna, but in a perverse way. We'll hear that people are just like, they hear pastimes of Krishna being told. But mostly these people who tell pastimes, they're actually demons. Because they'll give some philosophical misunderstanding by which after hearing the pastimes of Krishna, people become more envious of Krishna. Just like you'll hear, I don't know if I even want to say, but you hear some people say like this. I've heard someone is explaining the pastimes of Krishna, then because he shot Bali as Rama, so he had to die in the same way. Oh, what rascals. Such rascals. Such people should be executed. That would, if there was any proper government in this country, no, actually they shouldn't be allowed to live. They're demons. It's not a joke. They made some movie with showing Krishna with glasses. And he's supposed to be Krishna. And Krishna, he sees everything everywhere, inside and outside, and now he's got glasses. And people go to the movie and they're influenced by that because they don't hear Prabhupada. So we should glorify, yes, we glorify Prabhupada at every moment of every day by serving his mission. It's relatively easy to preach Krishna consciousness without preaching as Prabhupada did. There are certain things we can do which people will like. If we don't speak as Prabhupada spoke, then we're more likely to get friends. But our guru is Prabhupada and not this, what's his name? Dale Carnegie? How to win friends and influence people? How to make friends? So Srila Prabhupada, he didn't deliberately make enemies, but he spoke the message of Shastra. But we should know that if we are going to actually be followers of Prabhupada, then we're going to have to struggle and fight all our lives. If we don't properly follow Prabhupada, we'll also have to struggle all our lives, because life in the material world means struggle. But if we're to actually serve Srila Prabhupada, then certainly we're going to have to struggle, because the message of Krishna is not popular. Krishna speaks to Arjuna because Arjuna is Krishna's devotee. There was a much bigger army who, on the other side, who was standing there wanting to kill Krishna. At least they were honest about it. You can say Duryodhana was better than these so-called gurus who are taking the Putana policy of coming as if they want to be nice to Krishna. But actually their business is to kill Krishna by preaching that actually you are all God and so many things. They want to denature Krishna or drag Krishna down. That they cannot do, but they think they can do. And it may appear that they are successful. Just like Duryodhana, he was convinced. Even after Duryodhana tried to capture Krishna, and he was unsuccessful because Krishna made so many forms, then how are you going to capture him? Still Duryodhana, due to bad intelligence, thought, I will capture Krishna and kill Krishna. So why am I talking all these things and not talking about Prabhupada? Because this is what, if we're to serve Srila Prabhupada, we cannot avoid his mission. We can make a show of serving him. I always thought that we could facilitate distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. We can give a full set of Prabhupada's books very cheaply for 200 rupees only. All you have to do is take out all the things that Prabhupada says that people don't like. And you can see the whole book will, everything will come down to this much. Then you can sell very quickly. But if we're actually to give what Prabhupada said, it's a very big message, a very heavy message, very clear message. And that is what we are enjoined to preach, if we are to be followers of Prabhupada. As Srila Prabhupada spoke in one of his poems to his spiritual master after his spiritual master had passed away. He enjoined his godbrothers that festivals simply of fruits and flowers, that is all right, but that is not the proper way to, that is not the complete worship of your guru. If we think that Guru Puja means only offering a garland, then we cannot actually do Guru Puja. Then the Guru becomes like an idol, just some ritual performance of offering fruit and flowers. But Srila Prabhupada said that the real service to the Guru is to preach his mission. So, preaching, that is the essence, following Srila Prabhupada's instructions. This temple, Sri Sri Radha Rasvihari Temple, is a very suitable place to glorify Srila Prabhupada on his disappearance. Of course, everywhere is suitable, but some places are particularly connected with Srila Prabhupada's pastimes. So there are certain temples that Srila Prabhupada founded that are particularly connected with his pastimes. New York City, the present temple, is not founded by Srila Prabhupada directly, but New York City is very much connected with Srila Prabhupada. Los Angeles, the same temple is there. Srila Prabhupada spent so much time, said that that was his world headquarters. That was also said about Mayapur. Then London, Srila Prabhupada spent time and met with many important people of the world and preached to them. That temple was, that was a milestone for the movement, getting that big temple just outside London. Of course, Mayapur and Vrindavan. But this temple, Sri Sri Radha Rasbihari Mandir, has special significance in as much as Srila Prabhupada struggled so much to establish this temple. Such a big struggle. It would have been easier for Srila Prabhupada to have left the struggle. He could have got land somewhere else in Bombay, but he insisted on taking this land. Even before he went to America, he noted this land, this particular plot of land. So he wanted to bring Radha Rasbihari here, and he did bring them. And certain demons, or particularly one demon, aided by other demons, just like Kamsa had his... Anyway, his demon was smaller than Kamsa, but same attitude. He had the attitude that, no, this temple should not come here. And Prabhupada, he struggled so much. He traveled all around the world. Wherever he went, he took a photo with him and had that set up in his room of Radha Rasbihari. And wherever he went, he was always in contact with the situation. What is going on here? He so much wanted to establish this. Because he so much wanted to establish Krishna consciousness in India. That was Srila Prabhupada's, one of his great desires. October 1977, in Vrindavan, had the last darshan in this life of Srila Prabhupada. And then I went to Mayapur and then to Assam for book distribution. So we were quite out of contact, being traveling Sankirtan in Assam. In those days, even to make a local phone call in India, if you're in Calcutta in our temple and you want to go to Bara Bazaar, you want to make a phone call to Bara Bazaar, it's easier to just go there and speak to the person and make a phone call. So we were quite out of contact. We came back to Mayapur, and the plan was clean the van, fill up with books and go out again. That was our usual program. So anyway, we got delayed overnight. Otherwise, we might not have known for weeks later. So on November the 15th, we just had Guru Puja, because to make the phone call from Vrindavan to Mayapur wasn't easy at all. So eventually the phone call was made. We didn't know. We went over the whole November the 15th, the day after. We had the whole morning program. Then just after Guru Puja, Sarva Bhavana Prabhu, who was also, after that, spent a long time here. He was restaurant manager, everything. Gurukul, everything. So he announced. Suddenly there was some announcement. We were just going on with the morning program as usual, and we thought, after the morning program, we'll go out again on book distribution. So then he announced that Srila Prabhupada has passed away. So it was, there was no arrangement, there were no big leaders there at the time. Jayapitaka Maharaj, Bhavananda Maharaj, they weren't there. Nitai Chand, I don't remember if he was there or not. So anyway, impromptu, the devotees, they made some program. And I remember, the only thing I remember from that was Hiranyagarbha, who later was to become and is infamous for his offenses to Srila Prabhupada. But at that time, he said, and that was quite well known, that Srila Prabhupada had said that my guru told me to preach all over the world, and I did that. But now my own personal desire is to revive Krishna consciousness in India. So in India at that time, I first came to India in 1976. And then I came to stay in 1977. And more or less, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy and desire, I've been here ever since. So at that time, the religious situation among the Hindus was different to what it is today. People, in turn, of course, I'm not saying it's good, but people are more open to Hinduism in general. Of course, we're not Hindus, but we are perceived or as Hindus, or culturally you could say, that we are part of the Hindu... Well, we're not part of the Hindu mishmash, but we are part of the Vedic culture, or the present Vedic culture, which simply you could call it Hinduism. So in those days, in much of India, it was very difficult. Because, well, there are various reasons. Apart from the widespread propaganda that ISKCON was the CIA, outsiders are not allowed in the deity room, that means they have radio transmitters to Washington inside there. People believe it, you know. They go to a movie, oh my God, and they believe it. And they, so, it's powerful media. So that was one reason. But in general, because of the influence of that Pandit Nehru, in particular, so-called Pandit, had deliberately brought into India that India's problem is religion, too much religion. Now we don't need temples, we need factories, we need dams, we need all these things. So this influence is very strong, that India is backward because of her religion. So it's very difficult. And whatever religion was there was fully Mayavad. In those days, even to say that this supreme truth is a person in India would be just so much protest all the time. And so many things. You don't know, you're not a Hindu, you can't be a Hindu. We are born Hindus. In your next life you can become a Hindu. And so many things. I don't want to become a Hindu. So all these things were going on. Now the situation has changed, and I largely put that down to this temple has had tremendous influence. These big temples, Mayapur, Vrindavan, people come, and the influence, you see so many people come every day from all over India. They come here. And the impression they get, whatever it may be, but they get the impression that Krishna Bhakti is very important. Whatever else they're thinking, we don't know. But they get this impression. This is something very important, and this is something that should be done, and it's something very respectable. It's not just for some babas who they couldn't get a job in the factory, so they became sadhus. It's respectable people. So this temple has had a tremendous influence. Prabhupada, this is helping to fulfill Prabhupada's dream, because Prabhupada saw this situation, how people in India become so atheistic. In 1977, there was an attack on Mayapur temple, which was incited by communists. And Prabhupada was aware that actually they were looking for him. They wanted to find Prabhupada and arrest him. They're so demoniac. Prabhupada was very sorry how Indian people have gone so far away from Krishna. They're so mixed up with so many wrong ideas. So we find that Srila Prabhupada, he went to the West in 1966. The movement became somewhat established. And then it was 1967, he came back to India due to poor health. Then again he went back to America and spent some time. Then he started traveling widely. But if we add up all the time from when he started his wide travels around the world, we'll find that actually he spent more time in India. Even though his movement was spreading widely all over the world, and in India, there wasn't much going on. Srila Prabhupada he lamented that young Indian men are not joining our movement. He had to bring in devotees from the West with great difficulty. They wouldn't get visas for more than 6 months unless they were Commonwealth citizens. They could just stay without any visa. So Srila Prabhupada is lamenting that young Indian men are not joining our movement, and they just started to join in numbers around the time that Prabhupada left. Otherwise very few joined. So Srila Prabhupada, he emphasized so much this Bharata Bhumite Hoilo Manusha Janma Jaya Janma Shata Kari Karo Paro Upaka. Prabhupada said, I'm one Indian. If others had taken this up, if they did what I did, then this movement could have spread so much. So, I was asked to speak about Leela. So I'm speaking about Prabhupada's Leela, because it's going on. We say Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. But we should know that Srila Prabhupada will only disappear if we want him to disappear. Otherwise he won't disappear. He reasons ill who tell that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound. A Vaishnava dies to live, and living tries to spread the holy name around. So Vaishnava continues to preach by his words. Srila Prabhupada put so much effort into writing his books. Of course, much of his writing was done by dictation, but it comes to the same thing. Put so much energy into his writing his books. When he was asked by a journalist in San Francisco, I believe it was, what will happen to this movement after you die? Prabhupada said, I will never die. I will live forever in my books. And you can take advantage. So, there's some theory that some disciples of Srila Prabhupada killed him by poison. We don't know if that's true, because who knows? Forensic experts can be on either side. We don't think it's true. We don't think that Srila Prabhupada's disciples would poison him. It's a horrible idea. But we have to be very careful that, knowing him to be non-different from his instructions, he will always live and be very healthy if we live by his instructions. As Srila Prabhupada stated about his own guru, in the dedication to Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada's main offering of service to his guru was his translation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada was publishing Back to Godhead magazine on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's direct order. He published this magazine. Once a librarian in Delhi said to Srila Prabhupada, why don't you publish books? They have a more lasting effect than periodicals. And Srila Prabhupada, he felt that his spiritual master was speaking through this librarian. And therefore, he put more attention into writing books, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the definitive text for the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So Srila Prabhupada wrote in his dedication, dedicated to Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Pariradaka Acharya Ashtotarashata Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami. He lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. So we can actually live with Srila Prabhupada forever. That's what he taught us. What he taught us from Srimad Bhagavatam. That's another reason we have to worship Srila Prabhupada. He didn't make anything up. He didn't say, in my opinion, I think. He spoke from Shastra. He gave us the real thing. He didn't cheat us. So he taught us from Shastra, na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sato. We are eternal. The body is temporary. We have to live forever. We have to live forever means with Krishna, with the Vaishnavas. Krishna is not alone. Srila Prabhupada also taught. Everything Srila Prabhupada taught us. Krishna is not alone. Krishna is with the Vaishnavas. We have to live with the Vaishnavas. We learn from him. Here in Bombay, he instituted this daily singing of Chakudana Deloje Janme Janme Prabhusa. Who has given me eyes? Give me the eyes of knowledge. He is my master, birth after birth. So we have to live forever with Srila Prabhupada. How shall we do that? by living according to his instructions. Yeah, I was asked to speak about Leela. I personally had very little personal interaction with Srila Prabhupada. If you say personal means with Srila Prabhupada's vapu, his bodily form. I had little interaction with that. Still devotees always ask me, can you tell us your memories of Prabhupada? So I wrote a book. If anyone's interested to know, there's one book I think is available here called My Memories of Srila Prabhupada. But almost all the devotees who joined after the very early days of the movement, most of the devotees, their interaction with Srila Prabhupada was via service. And that actually is proper interaction with the Guru. Otherwise, one may have very close association. The example is like the mosquito. The mosquito has very close association of the Guru by drinking his blood. He's always close, very close, directly associated with the body, but is only causing disturbance. But who is actually associated by serving the order? So we are connected by Vani. The Vani is non-different. That is the essence of the Guru. The essence of the Guru is not what his diet is, not which street he was born in, not the name of his mother and father. This is not the essence of his existence. Otherwise, there are so many people who were born in Calcutta in 1896. Why are we glorifying Prabhupada? Are we glorifying him because he was born in Calcutta in 1896? No. We're glorifying him because of what he taught. That makes it. There's so many people, he had so many friends. Dr. Ghosh, one friend of his was there from his pre-sannyas life. There may have been so many others. So Dr. Ghosh was also same age group, Bengali. But we didn't glorify Dr. Ghosh. We glorify Prabhupada because he taught us about Krishna with his every breath and with his every step. And he gave us Krishna. He didn't give us cheating in the name of being a guru. He gave us Krishna. So for this reason, that is why he's guru. Otherwise he's not guru. So that is the essence, that is what is the difference between an ordinary man and a guru. Otherwise, an ordinary man eats, sleeps, passes through, yes, has health problems, wears certain kinds of clothes. A guru also does. But that is not the essence of existence, his existence. Why do people glorify Sachin Tendulkar? He also, he eats, sleeps, wears certain clothes, passes stool. We glorify, well, we don't. People who haven't heard Prabhupada's instructions. You've probably never heard of Sachin, you're from France. See, here's Gopesh Prabhupada from France, and he has never heard of Sachin Tendulkar. There's probably no one in India over the age of 6 who has not heard of Sachin Tendulkar. Am I right in saying he's the greatest cricket player in Indian history? One of the greats. Before that there was Kapil Dev, not this one. So, I know. Why should I know the name of a cricket player? Because I'm living in India. You know the name of the President of France, probably. I don't. I know the old one, sarcastic, Sarkozy. So, I know that. But, so he's very, very famous. But if Sachin Tendulkar never played cricket, if he was Shiv Sainik, he's not a Shiv Sainik, he doesn't. You don't know what a Shiv Sainik is either. You don't need to know. It's a worker for a local political party, the leader of whom we shouldn't speak about except to praise him. Otherwise, it's dangerous. So why, you see, he's quite short. He's Marathi. He's born in Bombay. He's 40 years old. I know all these things about him. I have no interest in cricket. So there are so many people from Bombay who are Marathi and 40 years old. Then why is Sachin Tendulkar praised? Because he plays cricket very expertly. So why do we glorify Srila Prabhupada? Because he teaches us about Krishna, which is a much more fitting contribution to the human race than that of Sachin Tendulkar, which I hope that Sachin himself would recognize that. At least people in India, even now they have that much culture, most of them, to recognize that a sadhu, his contribution is more than any businessman, politician, sportsman. So Srila Prabhupada, we praise him for, or we are connected to him, we live with him by his vani. So this temple is especially meant for preaching his vani. All the temples in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he always insisted that he didn't make the name of his society International Society for Prabhupada Consciousness. He made it International Society for Krishna Consciousness, but he insisted that wherever it is written the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, it should also be written Founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. That Krishna should be glorified as Prabhupada has glorified him. We should all glorify Krishna as Prabhupada has, as Srila Prabhupada has glorified him. So that will make us his follower. But if we don't, if we don't teach his teachings as he taught them, then we cannot properly be his follower. Then we make Prabhupada disappear. He lives forever in his followers, those who live as he taught us to live and speak as he taught us to speak. It's not easy. Because if we speak what Prabhupada speaks, then we have to say that everyone who is not a devotee of Krishna is dog, hog, camel, ass, nonsense, rascal, fool, number one. All these terms we learn from Srila Prabhupada to use in relation to the so-called respectable people of this world. And Srila Prabhupada would say that it's not my terms, these are Krishna's terms. So this is how to glorify Krishna. Of course, it's not the only way to glorify Krishna. But if we are to serve Krishna in the world, and Bombay is very much representative of the world, then we shall have to do so by speaking Bhagavad Gita. Bombay is very much representative of the world because this city was founded on the principle of economic development, specifically by factories and business. And that became, that materialistic atmosphere became much exacerbated, or increased, if you want an easier word, by the arrival of Bollywood. So it's a very materialistic place. And Srila Prabhupada, his service, his mission in the world, by which we are to follow him, by which we are to be servants of Prabhupada, our mission in the world is to follow him by serving his desire, his mission, by establishing Krishna consciousness in the world. Otherwise there's no reason for Prabhupada to come to this world. We glorify Prabhupada. So many unlimited reasons why we should glorify. One reason is because he's not a person of this world. He's not like myself and probably most of us, if not all of us present here. We came to this world anadi karma phale paribhavana vajale. We came to this world, we're in this world because we have turned away from Krishna. Prabhupada came to this world to turn us toward Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, he didn't come from it because of his reactions to sinful activities. But he came to save us from all reactions to sinful activities by preaching Bhagavad Gita as it is. Sarvadhanan parityaja mamekam sharanam raja hang twa sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami mashucha. How we can be free from all sinful reactions by surrendering to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada taught us. So we should teach this. We should teach what is in Shastra. Namam dushkushyam mulha. Srila Prabhupada so many times stated this. Preaching Krishna consciousness does not mean simply to speak on the pastimes of Krishna. Already, there are already so many people in India doing that. But there are very few who speak Bhagavad Gita as it is. In fact, only the followers of Prabhupada are doing that. We speak Bhagavad Gita as it is. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there was no Bhagavat Sapta organized. There was a meeting for a different purpose. It was to fight and kill. It's the most intense material situation. It is the epitome of what this whole material world is all about. The people struggle. They have ambitions, and then they're just slaughtered. Time I am. When Arjuna asks Krishna, you tell me who you are. Kalosmi, I am time, come to destroy everyone. So in that situation, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. And although certainly Srila Prabhupada's teachings were all aimed toward joining Krishna in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada had to preach Krishna consciousness in the world where people had no knowledge of Krishna, or their knowledge of Krishna was all messed up. So Srila Prabhupada spoke Bhagavad Gita, distinguishing reality from illusion. First we have to understand what is sat, what is asat, what is real, what is not real, what is eternal, what is temporary. So all these things Srila Prabhupada taught. On Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, we can beg for him, from him, the benediction that we always live with. Srila Prabhupada came to pick us up. He is very merciful. He will not reject us unless we reject Him. But the spiritual principle is there. Yeyata maam prapadyante taamus tathaiva bhajamyaham. Srila Prabhupada is as much available to us as we want Him to be. If we want Him to disappear, we can do so. We can keep a festival of fruit and flower and songs and remembrances and go on with our life thinking that Prabhupada is very merciful. So I don't need to follow what he says too serious, because he's very merciful. This is a cheating mentality. Follow means follow. Follow means follow what? Follow instructions. We cannot say that Srila Prabhupada left us any shortage of instructions. He left us so many books of instructions. So we have to follow. There are so many opinions about how to follow Prabhupada. In this regard, we can refer to one of Srila Prabhupada's purports in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which he states that during the, or in the presence of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his disciples all had one opinion. They were all united. Later, after his passing away, Daivakara, by the will of Providence, they had different opinions. Schism. Or schism, I think they say in American English. There was a schism. Srila Prabhupada, just in that section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, on the verse that is there, that Acharya Mata Jai Shai Mata Sha Ta Agya Langhi Chalu Sheto Asha. So that verse is there in relationship to Advaita Acharya, whose sons split into two groups. One followed him as devotees, the others thought that, well, our father is of a smarter Brahmana family, so we should also be smarter Brahmins. So there was disagreement. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, the opinion of the Acharya, that is essential. That is the essence. Those who disregard his order, they become asar. Prabhupada translates this as useless. So Srila Prabhupada said that those who follow the order of the Acharya, he was said in relation to his godbrothers, they are useful, they are actual followers. Those who don't follow, they are useless. And this is a dire warning. Are we in Prabhupada's camp or not? There was, among the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, after his disappearance, they split into different groups. They all kept the picture of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They all worshipped him. But according to the statement of the Acharya in the next generation, Srila Prabhupada, some of them were useless because they didn't follow the instruction. Srila Prabhupada also wrote that after the disappearance of the Acharya, chaos ensues. Who is an Acharya? This term Acharya can be understood in various ways. Acharya can mean simply a teacher. Arjuna was a dancing teacher for 1 year. That's also one kind of Acharya, when he appeared to be a eunuch, and he was teaching dancing. So that's one kind of Acharya. We say Ayurveda Acharya, Jyotish Acharya. These are different kinds of Acharyas. Ayurveda, you know that word. Jyotish, do you know what that word means? It means astrology. So this term is also used for Acharya. Acharya can also mean the head of a temple. If you go to some temple, they may introduce, here is the Acharya. So he's in charge of one temple or five temples. But in the full sense of the term, Acharya means Acharyam maam vijani andavamanyeta karhi chitna martya buddha suyeta sarvadeva mayoga. In his commentary on this verse, Srila Prabhupada speaks of the Acharya in the true sense of the term. So this verse is spoken by Krishna, and he says, you should know very well that the Acharya is me. He should not be disregarded in any respect. He should not be considered a mortal. He should not be envied. Because he is the sum total of all the demigods, devotees. Srila Prabhupada is an Acharya. In the fullest sense of the term, Acharya means pushes back Maya. You come into Prabhupada's association, so many devotees had this experience. That is just like Arjuna came in Krishna's association, full of doubts. And then, Nashto Moha Smritir Lata Tat Prasadam Mayachuta Stitosmi Gata Sandeha Karishe Vachananta. By Krishna's association, Arjuna's illusion was all destroyed. He remembered who I am, and by the mercy of Krishna, who never falls, he is achyuta, he never becomes undermined. All his doubts are cleared, and he's ready to follow Krishna's instruction. So an Acharya is like that. He pushes back Maya. So many people told Prabhupada, why are you going to America? What will you do there? After Prabhupada left, after Prabhupada went, so many people, they said, well, actually, I gave the idea to Prabhupada to go to the West. I met so many, several. I said I went to, my last darshan of Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. We were in Allahabad. We drove from Allahabad to Vrindavan. So we were going around distributing Prabhupada's books. And people would say, well, because Prabhupada lived there in his house all the life. So they'd say, well, actually, I gave the idea to your guru to go to the West. All rascals. Prabhupada was given the order by Prabhupada, by his guru, to go to the West. Only people were telling him, don't go. No one told him to, only his guru told him to go. Everyone else told him, don't go. What will you do then? You will not be able to do anything. Why are you going? Now you're living in Vrindavan, you should stay in Vrindavan. What's this going sightseeing? Preach Krishna consciousness in the West, forget it. Impossible. Everyone in the world thought it was impossible. There was only one person in the world who thought it was possible, Prabhupada. Because he had faith. In the orders of his guru, in the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Krishna consciousness was spread all over the world. He had faith in the holy name. He had faith in the order of Shastra. Srila Prabhupada was such an acharya. What others thought was impossible, which others had tried to do unsuccessfully, Prabhupada did. He pushed Maya back. He made the most unlikely candidates into devotees of Krishna. Then he wanted to revive Krishna consciousness in India. Very difficult job also. When the devotees first came here, there were some ceremonies, but like I said, very few people were willing to take it seriously. And if you read Prabhupada's conversations, you'll find Prabhupada speaking with so many respectable gentlemen here in India and telling them, why don't you come and join me, take it up. No, they would give advice, that's all. But they didn't. They wanted to give advice to Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada's desire was to change the situation, and he did so. Many years ago, this must have been also in the 1970s, late 1970s, after Prabhupada had passed away, there was an article on the Illustrated Weekly of India. Most of you may not know that. Nowadays there's this India Today magazine. It's very influential. In those days there was the Illustrated Weekly of India. When India Today came, that finished the Illustrated Weekly. But that was very influential magazine in English. But just like nowadays, all the more educated people of India who are interested in social issues, political issues, they read India Today. So in those days, everyone used to read the Illustrated Weekly of India. So for one issue, there on the front page, there was a picture of Omkar Das, who was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He was the head pujari at ISKCON Vrindavan. He's passed away now. He's from France also. There was a picture of him there in front of the altar at Krishna Balaram Mandir. And the title of the issue was Saviors of Hinduism. They noted that Srila Prabhupada had already passed away, but due to his preaching, he had saved Hinduism. And actually then the whole situation turned around. Because the educated class at that time, they're all thinking, oh, this Hinduism, it's all nonsense, and building temples, don't build temples, you should build factories, all influenced by Nehruism. At that time, the only people building temples in India, major temples, or even minor temples, were the Birlas. Otherwise there was no temple construction going on. The Birla family were told prediction was there. You have to go on building temples. As long as you go on building temples, your business will prosper. So they were going on building temples. Otherwise no one was building temples. Now it's so many temples, new temples everywhere. It's because of Prabhupada. Now we may say that, well, so many others went to the West also. Actually in the West, when Prabhupada was preaching in America and England, there were many more followers of many more followers than of Prabhupada. There were two big Indian gurus in the West at the time. One was called Bal, what was it? Bal Gangeshwar? Something like that. He was known as Bal Yogeshwar. Better known in the West as Guru Maharaj Ji, who claimed to be an avatar of Krishna. Anyway, hardly anyone even has heard of him now. And the other very big one was this Yogi Mahesh. Maharshi Mahesh Yogi, known in short as Yogi Mahesh, with his so-called transcendental meditation. But the Illustrated Weekly, they have many followers in the West, but the Illustrated Weekly didn't highlight them. They've highlighted Prabhupada, but much less followers. Why is that? Well, there may be many reasons for that also. But one reason is that Prabhupada, he gave the real thing, he taught the real thing, and his disciples followed the real thing. This Yogi Mahesh had so many followers, many, many followers. It's very easy to be a follower when there's nothing to follow. But Prabhupada, he said, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, rise early in the morning, no cinema. He did say that. ISKCON cinema, okay. But Kami cinema, no. No TV, no tea, oh. I think there may have been many people in India who would have followed everything else, but the no tea, that was too tough. Even his own wife, she couldn't follow that. No tea, no coffee, no pan, no gutka. Then, no chocolate. There was no chocolate at that time. Now, someone found out some quote. And then, okay, forget all the ones where Prabhupada said not to eat it, we'll take this one. So like that. Because there are so many do nots. But, that gives strength also. Purity is the force. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada's disciples were able to go all over the world. Prabhupada said, go to Japan. Preach Krishna consciousness. Japan, where is that? People in America, they know where every state in America is. If you give them a jigsaw puzzle, they can put it all together. They're required to do so in school. But west of San Francisco, they have no idea. They know Hawaii is out there somewhere. But just like Iraq, no one in America had ever heard of Iraq until they invaded it. So you have to go to Japan, and so many people have never been outside their country. Boys, what Prabhupada used to say, boys and girls, because in India the culture is you're a boy until you're at least 40 or something, they call boys. So boy, 20-year-old boy, go to, take sannyas, go to Japan, start preaching Krishna consciousness. Don't know the language, don't know the culture, don't know how to get there. Go and preach Krishna consciousness. Krishna will help you. Yeah, they went. They're able to do so. How is that? How are they able to do so? That answer is captured very nicely in one of the films from ISKCON Cinema by Dr. Thomas J. Hopkins, who has been despite being a mundane scholar, he's less mundane than the rest because he had genuine appreciation of Srila Prabhupada. So he was a scholar of Indic studies, or whatever they call it, which means mostly a bunch of nonsense and how to present India as stupid. That's what the traditionally the colleges do for Indian studies. That's the unspoken manifesto, to make everything Indian seem stupid. So he heard that there was a new Swami in town who was a follower of Chaitanya. So that was, he was interested in this. That was his line. So he met some of the followers. So he's a scholar and he studies these things in university. He teaches these things in the university. This is 1966, 67. At that time he was teaching. So he actually knew a lot about it. And he met the followers of Prabhupada. And he was amazed by two things. One thing, and how much dedication and bhakti and faith they had. Thomas Hopkins is teaching about Chaitanya, and no one knows Chaitanya. They hardly even know Krishna, what to speak of Chaitanya. And then all of a sudden he meets these young hippies who never completed any university education, who are just, till a few days ago, smoking, drinking, taking drugs, illicit sex, and deliberately doing everything that orthodox society doesn't want them to do. Rebels. And all of a sudden he meets them and they're dedicated, full of enthusiasm, full of devotion, full of faith for Krishna. So he was amazed. And the other thing he was amazed about was how little they knew. Because he knew much more. They don't really know anything. They don't know Bhagavad Gita, they don't know Chaitanya. They don't know. How can they be so dedicated without knowing? And he states on this film that when I met Swamiji, then I understood. Because Prabhupada, he is the very, that verse we say, Jadapi ama guru chaitanya radas tatapi janeho taha chaitanya prakash. He is as Krishna conscious as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How Krishna conscious is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Always thinking of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fully absorbed intensely in Krishna consciousness, wanting to give Krishna consciousness to others. Prabhupada exactly the same. Fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Fully absorbed how to give Krishna to others. Resplendent, unutajvala rasa, swabhakti sriya. Just resplendent, literally glowing with Krishna consciousness. So, just in faith in Prabhupada, devotees went all over the world and spread Krishna consciousness. So can we do that now? There's still much to do. It's not over. There's so much to do. We're preaching here in India, mostly in the cities. But even in many people in Bombay, they've never come to this temple. You can be sure. They don't come this side at all. Isn't it? Just the other night we were driving in Baroda. Our temple in Baroda is on the western side of the city. So we were driving, we were going through the eastern side, and I thought, probably these people, many of them don't even know we have a temple here. In Jamnagar, one city in Gujarat, devotees there are telling me that they've got, someone's given them some land, and then some people are helping them to collect, and they're going, so people, it told me that one of the builders who's helped them to collect is going to his friends and saying that they're from ISKCON. He's saying, what's that? They don't know. And they tell them that these people, they only speak about Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. No politics, nothing personal. No personal sense gratification, no personal promotion, and then just on the strength they give. All right, we'll give. How much do they want? They'll give. So that purity is the force to follow in Prabhupada's footsteps. and to follow his instructions. There's great power, tremendous power, but we shouldn't keep it locked up. We have to go everywhere, just like Vrajahari Prabhu is here now. He's taken up the service here of overseeing the management of this temple. Previously, from this temple, he traveled all over India, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And you'll find all over India, people are taking the books because they visited this temple. They feel, oh, it's something very nice. They like that. So we have to go everywhere. You see, in Jamnagar, it's a big city. Many people still, they don't know what are Prabhupada's teachings. What to speak of in the villages. Even in Bombay itself, many people don't know. Mostly our preaching in India is among the middle class. Even the less moneyed Hindus, they don't come so much. We don't go. What to speak of the Muslims? It's a huge population of Muslims. Can we get Urdu Bhagavad Gita available? Because our devotees, they're asking. On the trains, distributing books, and Muslims they want in Urdu, but we don't have it. Can you please, on Prabhupada's disappearance day, Bhima Prabhu isn't here, but can you arrange that to get it print, at least print 5,000 or something? We should look. Prabhupada also said that my godbrothers were successful preaching in the villages. I want to preach in the towns, because they could preach in the villages where people are still somewhat faithful. Now Prabhupada's opened up the towns, but we have to go back to the villages also. Because I tell you, the Christians are damn busy in the villages. They're everywhere, and they're in the towns also. They're not sitting quietly. And they're turning people into demons, actually. What they call Christian, Christ would cry. They're making them into cow killers, and the Hindus are also cow killers. We have so much work to do. And now they're talking election, this election in America, election in Gujarat, and then there'll be election in India. But Prabhupada said, don't vote for anyone unless they're going to stop cow slaughter. It's not even an issue. If even Parikshit Maharaj, he thought, if even one cow is being mistreated in my kingdom, he has to fight to the death to stop that. And daily in India, lakhs of cows are being slaughtered. And how can we say, Gar se kaho hum Hindu hai? What Sharam se, you should say. They're no political party. We should not vote for them unless they make the sankalp, determination, vow to stop counting. How are we going to do that? We have to convince the Muslims. If we can convince them, then they will stop. Otherwise you can stop by law, but it's just like in Gujarat, cow killing is stopped by law, but still it goes on. Just like in Gujarat also, selling alcohol is illegal, and alcohol is everywhere. You have to preach to the Muslims and the Hindus and make them understand. So many, we have to preach to the Muslims, you have to preach to the Hindus. There's so many countries all over the world where we're not preaching. Africa is beginning to open up somewhat. Now in America, most of the young people have never heard of ISKCON. Sorry, Bhagavan Narayan Prabhu. I said that in one lecture and he disagreed with that. But he said that people do know us, but I don't think so. In America recently, I met some old people and they asked, what is this? And I gave them a book. He said, oh, Hare Krishna, I remember. Oh, I remember. Why should they say, I remember? It should be now. They shouldn't ask us. Usually they think we're Buddhists. If our devotees even walk in these clothes in America, mostly they just go around in kami clothes. And people think they're Buddhists. Book distribution all over the world. It was endowed inside. India's come up like anything.
US is up
U.S. is going up. U.S. is going up. Now, India's come up. Even all the temples are not sending in their scores in India and everywhere. Jamnagar, I discovered. They're not sending in their score. So, yeah, Prabhupada's disappearance day. Let us keep Srila Prabhupada, not keep alive, but Ebe Josh Kushal Tribhuvan. Wrongly translated, his glories are spread all over the three worlds. The actual translation is now Ebe Josh, his glories, Gushuk. Let them be announced. Tribhuvan, within all the worlds. So if we really want to glorify Prabhupada, we're going to have to preach his glories. But who will understand Prabhupada? They say, oh yeah, very good. You see, Vivekananda went to the West, and Yogi Mahesh went to the West, and Prabhupada went to the West. Very good. When they understand, they can only understand how great is Prabhupada if they understand his teachings. And they understand that what Prabhupada gave is qualitatively completely different from what Yogi Mahesh or any of these people gave. That Prabhupada gave the real thing. So who can actually appreciate Prabhupada is those who follow his instructions. And that will be our offering throughout the year and life after life. And then we'll be Prabhupada's disciples. And then we can fulfill his desire of spreading Krishna consciousness everywhere by following his instructions. There's strength in his order. We may think there are different ways or better ways. But we should know that there is no better way to preach Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada said, than distributing his books. And so many other programs he had. One major area, now I'm going over time, I'll finish now, but one thing we should consider this day and every day is Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to establish Varnashram Dharma. This is practically forgotten now. It's easier to have temples in the cities. So that's alright, we should have temples in the cities, but Prabhupada, he wanted to make this a worldwide movement for everyone and save people from the horrible life of industries, factories, pollution, overcrowding, cheating politicians, slaughterhouses, striptease bars, cinemas, all these things. Srila Prabhupada wanted to save people from that by establishing Varnashram communities. So we should not be half chicken philosophers and take only that part of Prabhupada's teachings that we like. We have to follow them all. Hare Krishna. I'll finish now, as there's the rest of the program is to continue. Hare Krishna. We should all say Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And we should also live by that.